We'd like to continue in our Be Ready to Answer series, where we're asking questions and then trying to give those answers. Peter said to be ready to answer. In our series thus far, we've established our hope from God's Word, and thy Word is truth, that there's no means in man for born again, that the wind blows where it pleases, the Spirit moves where He pleases, and so it is with everyone's born of the Spirit. Holy Spirit unassisted, regeneration without the means of faith. So our question this morning, if faith is not the cause of the new birth, where does faith fit in? Hebrews 11 and 1 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, something with substance has realness to it. You can get a hold of it. Faith allows the regenerate mind, the born-again mind of a child of God, to actually take hold of the real substance of that which literally exists out of his reach. That sounds rather bizarre, doesn't it? That you can take a hold of something that you can't reach. That's what faith does for you. It's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence bears witness to truth. Evidence that bears witness to truth causes the truth to become known as a reality even if you hadn't seen it. With enough testimony and enough evidence, you can know it's real, though you can't see it. Faith bears witness and gives evidence of unseen things. Faith allows the truth that lies in the realm of the invisible to be seen by the one with faith. So one who possesses God's marvelous gift of faith has abilities beyond the realm of natural possibilities. He can hold to things that cannot be held. He can see things that can't be seen. Through faith, unreachable things are in full grip. Invisible things are in full view. Perhaps no one fully comprehends the wonder of the miracle of faith. It's not surprising the natural man doesn't comprehend it. It all sounds rather crazy, doesn't it? When you start talking about seeing a man seeing invisible things and getting a hold of things that are out of his reach, that sounds so bizarre that somebody that doesn't have it wouldn't realize. But somebody with it can understand that you can almost visualize Christ hanging on that cross, or you can have a certain hope of heaven, though you can't reach it yet. You know it's there. There's some evidence inside you that's testifying to you of the truth of it. The faith is a wonderful thing to have. There's no way to understand faith unless you have it. But when you have it, still seems like most people take it for granted and don't appreciate their ability to hold the unreachable, to see the invisible, to know the eternal. They look at faith as if it's just something that they decided to do, something they decided to have. So they just conjured up a little faith and began to see invisible things in a spiritual realm. Today's Christianity greatly underestimates and grossly unappreciates the miracle of faith. Most have no idea of the wonder of the event that must take place before a child of God can even understand anything about the real God. The Bible's clear concerning the truth that God is the source and the origin of the miracle of faith. Ephesians 2 and 8, faith is a gift of God. Galatians 5:22, faith is a fruit of the Spirit, not the cause of the Spirit coming in. You don't dream up a little faith and invite the Spirit in. The Spirit comes in and gives you a miracle called faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews 12:2 says Jesus is the author of our faith. He writes it on our hearts. He puts it inside of you. Philippians 1:29 said it is given to believe on Him. Before you can believe on Him, it has to be given to you, that ability. What do you mean by that? You don't understand perhaps the wonder of the power involved in you having faith. The Bible says that the same power that was worked in Christ to raise Him from the dead must be worked in us in order that we might be able to believe, Ephesians 1:17-20. An unborn again, spiritually dead person cannot just dream up a little faith and be able to see the invisible realm of eternity. God must first execute a great power, an exceeding great power, equivalent to resurrection, and give spiritual life to the spiritually dead before belief is even possible. Belief in Jesus is not just something that you do. Belief in Jesus is a miracle that God gives you. The faith that is in you is not of you. It is a wonderful, miraculous gift from God to you. What makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? The Bible says faith is a gift of God received by God. Praise God for it. And don't take credit of just making it up yourself. It's too big a thing for you to come up with your natural abilities. On the other hand, there's a great tendency among today's Christianity to overestimate the role of faith. Faith is not the channel through which a man has eternal life. Faith does not give eternal life to anybody. Faith is not the means to being born again. A person ought to be cautious about putting too much faith in his faith. Man's faith is too unfaithful to secure his eternal life. I don't want to trust in my faith because my faith is weak. I doubt things about as often as I believe things in this world. Jesus looked at the apostles and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, one time ye of no faith." Jesus said the faith of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. My faith is not equivalent to those apostles' faith. My faith doesn't move any mountains. Where's my faith fit in all this? It's so insignificant. Do I want to trust in my faith as failing and futile and doubting and faltering as it is to get me to heaven? Why don't I just trust in Jesus to get me to heaven and leave me out of the loop? That's what the Bible teaches, that God just does it for us. But man wants to have a part of it. And today's Christianity wants to trust in self and pat self on the back instead of just going ahead and leaving me out of the loop and trusting in Jesus and giving Him all the praise. Now, faith, though it's not the channel to eternal life, it's still very important. Though faith is not the means to be born again, to being born again, faith is the way you know you've been born again. Faith is given to the child of God so the child of God can understand the things of God. There's a difference in having eternal life and having the assurance of knowing that you have eternal life. God gives the eternal life, then He gives the faith so you can have the assurance that you have the eternal life, so that you can know the things of God. There's a difference in being eternally saved and having the peace that comes from realizing that you're eternally saved. That's where faith fits in. There's a difference in being in the state of eternal salvation and you're being in the state of mind of knowing that you have eternal salvation. Jesus, and only Jesus, gives you the eternal life. There's no means to that except Jesus. But the means to you knowing that Jesus has given you the eternal life, that's the gift of faith. That makes faith of extreme value. There's a big difference between falsely believing in self to be the cause and basis of eternal life and truly believing in Christ to be the cause and the basis of eternal life. A big difference in not understanding and believing in your own good works and faith as the source of salvation, and understanding and believing that Jesus is the source of salvation. That misunderstanding or that understanding has a great big difference in how you look at things. There's much difference in believing that your faith is sufficient as opposed to believing that Jesus is sufficient. To believe that salvation is based in self anyway leaves the believer with many doubts because we fail ourselves. I find little assurance in basing my eternal salvation on me, yet by faith I can find much comfort and confidence in knowing that Christ is the basis for my salvation. Faith is not essential for eternal salvation, but it is essential for assurance and peace in the inner being about whether you have the salvation or not. You don't have to have faith to have eternal life, but you sure need faith to have peace about having eternal life. Both the eternal life and the faith are gifts of God by grace. First God gives the life, then He gives the faith in order that the child of God can know he has the life. With the gift of faith, the child can begin to experience and live the life he possesses. By faith, the child of God can know spiritual things. By faith, the child of God can know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that gave him his faith. So faith is given so we can somewhat understand and know God, so we can understand a little bit about spiritual things. Faith is given to allow the child of God to have a sense of reality in things that are hoped for, that we can get a hold of things that are hoped for. Faith is given to allow the child of God to see things that natural eyes can't see, to see that invisible. Faith is given to allow a child of God to know things that a natural mind cannot know. To illustrate the purpose of faith, let's consider how faith is connected to Christ's work on the cross. A lot of Christianity gets this confused. God does not give faith to a child of God so the child might help Christ finish His work of saving that child. Christ didn't go so far and then just leave you and your faith to finish it up. On that cross, salvation was accomplished. On that cross, Jesus declared, "It is finished," and it was. Jesus does not need the sinner's help to finish what is already finished. So God doesn't give faith to a child of God so that the child might help Christ finish his work of saving that child. Instead, God gives faith to a child of God so that the child might know that Christ has finished his work of saving that child. By faith, the child of God can know that his sins were placed on Jesus, that Jesus' blood was applied to him, that the sins were removed from him by that blood, that God's promised never to remove and remember those sins again. By faith, the child can know the blood of Christ has made him righteous. By faith, the child can, in his own mind, declare himself to be in that state of righteousness. To declare a state of righteousness is, by definition, justification. So by faith, the child of God can, in his own mind, be justified. What is this idea of being justified by faith, anyway? Eternal justification is not based on your faith. Eternal justification is based on God's grace and the blood of Christ. By grace, you were justified in God's mind when God judged you based on the blood of Christ and the finished work of Christ. So where's faith fit in? It's not in that eternal side of the picture. By faith, you are justified in your mind as you judge yourself based on the blood of Christ and the finished work of Christ. How does this justification by faith work? Well, first of all, a man who is justified by faith he's a man who Christ did die for, and he's been put in a state of righteousness. That man who can now be justified by faith in his own mind is a man the Holy Spirit's come into and given the new birth and an ability to understand spiritual things. Once this man has been given the spiritual life and the resulting gift of faith, he's able then to know things of the mysterious, invisible spiritual realm. He can understand things of God. So by faith that was given to this man, he's able to see himself to be in a state of righteousness by the blood of Christ and the finished work of Christ on the cross. By faith, he can declare himself to be in that state of righteousness according to that blood of Christ and what he did for him. This declaration of righteousness, again, that's justification. So by faith, the man is justified as he judges himself based on the blood of Christ and the finished work of Christ. Faith is given to us so we can see ourselves as God already sees us. And so we can declare ourselves to be what God has already declared us to be, righteous. And when we can declare ourselves to be that, in our own minds, we're justified. In the mind of God, that was done a long time ago. In our minds, we understand it by faith. So by faith, we're justified. In other words, faith in the finished work of Christ leads a man to declare to himself that he is what Christ has already made him to be. He can, in his own mind, declare to himself that to be that righteous individual that Christ made him to be. The faith isn't what made him righteous. Christ did that part. The gift of faith only declared to the man what Christ had already done in order that the man might declare himself to be what he already is. By faith, a man can see that Jesus has made him righteous even in the sight of God. By faith in Jesus, a man can declare himself to be what he sees that he is. By faith in Jesus, a man can justify himself in his own view of self. This is what it is to be justified by faith. That doesn't have anything to do with getting into heaven. That has to do with knowing that you're going to heaven. Those things that man knows by faith, God's known those things all along. God doesn't need man's faith so God can know what he already knows. Neither can a man's lack of faith undo what God's already done. Christ accomplished what he accomplished, whether you know it or not. God knows what Christ accomplished, whether you believe it or not. Scriptures. Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God's word's answer? God forbid. What if somebody doesn't believe? Can their unbelief make what God's done not effective? 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny the work of Christ on that cross. What was accomplished is accomplished. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus did save his people from their sins. And God knows that Jesus saved his people from their sins. The eternal salvation of all that Jesus died for remains an unchangeable, eternal reality, even if nobody ever believes it. For what if some did not believe? Can they mess up what God's done? If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The truth about God's salvation does not cease to be truth just because it's not believed. The truth is that Jesus removed all the sins from all his people. The truth is that sins that were removed are removed. God knows this to be the truth, whether you believe it or not. Christ made all that he died for righteous, and God knows it. God knows that all these things about the finished work of Christ are true, whether anybody else ever knows them or not. God has declared all these things about the finished work of Christ to be true, whether anybody else ever declares it or not. God legitimately and eternally justified all that Jesus died for and made to be righteous. God's eternal justification remains reality, whether anybody believes it or not. You can't undo truth by not believing it. You can't change what's already been done by not understanding it. Yet by the grace of God, God devised a wonderful means for his children to know and believe some of those things that God has already known. That means to the belief is the gift of faith. Faith is that fruit of the Spirit, that result of the new birth. The born again can know the things of God, even things that God knows and has always known. The gospel of the finished work of Christ is heard with ears of faith. Eyes of faith see the concept. By faith, the mind understands it. Without faith, you can't understand these things. But by faith, you can understand these things. By faith, the sinner sees himself as having been made righteous by the blood of Christ. God in his eternal plan saw the sinner righteous through Christ before time began. God saw the sinner righteous when Christ accomplished the righteousness that he gave to the sinner on the cross. God enabled the sinner to see all this through faith. Faith even declares it to the sinner. Faith isn't the cause of the righteousness. Christ did that part. Faith doesn't cause God to see the righteousness. God saw it whether you ever see it or not. Faith allows the sinner to see himself as righteous. And having seen himself righteous, the sinner can declare himself to be that righteous person through Christ. At this point, the sinner is justified by faith. By faith in the finished work of Christ, the sinner can declare himself to be righteous in his judgment of his own case, in his own mind. Faith is the wonderful means by which a man can see himself standing justified before a holy God. Faith has nothing to do with how God looks at and judges a sinner. Faith has to do with how the sinner looks at and judges himself. God saw Christ die for the sinner. God saw it all. He knows it all. By faith, the sinner can see himself in the same way that God already sees him. By faith, the sinner can know that God already what God already knows. God declared the sinner righteous by the blood of Christ because God saw that blood of Christ that made the sinner righteous. The sinner declares himself to be righteous by the blood of Christ because by faith, the sinner can see that blood of Christ that's made him righteous. By definition, again, justification is that declaration of righteousness. So God justified the sinner by the blood of Christ because God saw that blood placed on that sinner. The sinner justifies himself by the blood of Christ in his own mind because by faith the sinner can see that that blood of Christ has made him righteous. The faith-gifted mind sees that the righteousness is not of self, but is by the work of Christ. The faith-gifted mind knows that the declaration of righteousness concerning self is not based on self, but is based on the work of Christ. Works didn't make the sinner righteous. Faith doesn't make the sinner righteous. Christ makes the sinner righteous. Christ is the only basis by which a sinner can be made righteous. Christ is the only basis by which a sinner can be declared righteous. Any declaration of righteousness based on anything else is a false declaration. The declaration of righteousness is not based on the deeds of the law. The declaration of righteousness is not based on the act of faith. Neither the deeds of the law nor the acts of faith are sufficient to bring a man into a state of righteousness. There is no righteousness in or of self. Any righteousness in man is from Christ's righteousness being put in that man. Any faith that man has is a result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the man. So a man is not and cannot be declared to be righteous by looking to self. To attempt to base righteousness upon self is wrong. Yet to declare a man to be righteous based on the work of Christ, that's the way to look at it. That's right. For a man to believe himself to be righteous based on anything of self is wrong. For a man by faith to believe himself to be righteous based on the finished work of Christ, that's the right way to think, friends. A man can declare himself to be righteous only when he looks to the finished work of Christ that's been applied to him by God. Biblical faith is total trust in the finished work of Christ. True faith in Christ totally eliminates self. The biblical principle of faith itself totally eliminates all boasting of self. Romans 3:27, a good verse. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Can anybody ever boast about salvation? I've heard it bragged on preachers that when they get to heaven, they'll have a special place because of all the souls they save. That's boasting. Because preachers don't save souls. And by faith, all boasting is excluded, is eliminated. What does all this mean? Above all things, faith eliminates any possibility of boasting. It would seem that failure to keep the law and our unrighteous works would stop every mouth from boasting. And the Bible says that the law does stop every mouth. But this verse says that the law of faith, the very principle and definition of scriptural faith, eliminates boasting even more than that failure to keep the law. There's no boasting in the law. And in true scriptural faith, you're not allowed to boast either. Why is that? True faith in Jesus is the belief that Jesus has totally accomplished salvation. That's what true faith in Jesus is. Bible-based faith incorporates the idea that nothing from self can help save self. Faith is neither the sinner's righteousness nor his claim to righteousness. Jesus is the sinner's righteousness and the sinner's claim to righteousness. Bible faith is the exact opposite of man becoming righteous of self. Scriptural faith denies any merit in man. Faith in Jesus destroys the idea that man can contribute. True faith in Jesus is totally self-eliminating and in no way self-promoting. True faith demands elimination of trust and confidence in self completely. Bible faith is an unqualified looking to Jesus as the sufficient righteousness of God in our place. God-given faith takes self out of the plan and gives all the glory to the Savior. That's why God gives it to us. So we can praise Jesus, not so we can take credit for helping Jesus. So if the very principle of biblical faith acknowledges that Jesus is the absolute and total Savior, then where is there any room for self in God's plan of salvation? If faith gives the understanding that salvation is of the Lord, how can anybody boast of self in any way? So what is faith? What's it for? From the eternal perspective, the sinner realizes the hopelessness of salvation through his own righteousness or his own works or his own thoughts and deeds. By faith, he hears and understands that the righteousness is provided by God. Upon understanding this, God-given revelation, the sinner's lifestyle, manner of thinking, manner of living changes. He now lives with full realization of the insufficiency of self. Yet he lives with confidence that his salvation is certain through Jesus. To the faithful, the thing hoped for, even eternal salvation, has a present reality. Faith is the God-given means whereby sinners can hold to the reality of the substance of the truth of salvation. Faith is the Spirit-given evidence that lets sinners see and know these unseen things. Eternal salvation is totally of the Lord without means, but the understanding of the Lord's eternal salvation is by the means of God-given faith. Praise God for the grace of salvation. Praise God for the grace of faith that gives the understanding of the grace of salvation. Yet beyond faith, letting us know that the certain hope of eternal life is real, faith is what also gets us through the day-to-day struggles of the life in which we now exist. God told Habakkuk, "The just shall live by his faith." These words don't tell the just how to become spiritually alive. They tell thee just how to live the spiritual life they've been given. Habakkuk's problem was how to get through life, even how to live life in this world he was stuck in. Habakkuk had come to the end of self. He was in great despair of life. In the words, the just shall live by faith, God taught Habakkuk a new lifestyle, a new way of looking at things. The lesson was to quit focusing on the hopeless situation, have faith in God, quit living by sight, start living by faith. The just, one who's conformed to the will of God, that's what that means, will live his life by his faith. Faith is not the one-time event whereby eternal life's acquired. Faith is the constant lifestyle that's necessary for getting through life. Faith is a continual realization for the need of Christ. Faith is knowing the sufficiency of Christ for every situation we face. True faith passes hopelessness and goes on to confidence. So faith empowers us to know that the certain hope of eternal life is real, and faith also enables us to get through the day-to-day struggles of life. Yet there's still a deeper meaning in the words, the just shall live by faith. The God-given gift of faith allows us to see Jesus hanging on that cross. By faith, I see Jesus suffering in my place, even dying because of my sins. What wondrous love is this, that Jesus would give his life for the likes of me? By faith, I can see that Jesus saved even me. Once faith lets us see Jesus in this way, we'll never be the same. We'll live the rest of our lives differently. If we're thinking in the right manner, we will never get over what Jesus has done for us. If we're just and right in the way we live, we'll live our lives saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? The just, those who are right in their manner of thinking and living, shall live their lives by their faith, not just believing in Christ as their Savior, but also believing in Jesus in their times of trouble, and even believing Jesus as to the right way to live life in this world. Let those who have faith in the power of God and to salvation live their lives looking to that powerful God. Let those who have believed in the righteousness of God, even Jesus Christ, always be looking to that righteous Jesus. Let those who by faith know eternal truths live by that faith through the remainder of their days. Let that God-given faith abound to God's glory as we live out our lives.